82-83. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris and the Paracast, we've got a really fascinating episode for you this week. But there's always fascinating stories to tell in the crazy, wacky UFO field. It's almost like we're working for Entertainment Weekly, or People Magazine for that matter. Or Us magazine to report the trials and tribulations of the personalities. So now, is there a falling out amongst the exopolitics people? Now there's a big attack against alleged financial improprieties and other stuff by Dr. Stephen Greer in connection with that serious documentary film. What's going on?
I don't know, Gene. You have to kind of take all this with a grain of salt. The report is coming from Alfred Weber. And his track record, I think, is a little shoddy when it comes to getting facts correct. So I think we should not take this particular version of events at face value. It does appear, however, though, that there has been a falling out amongst the Greer crew, the ambassadors to the universe crowd. I'm not sure what to make of it. I could do a little digging on the backside of this to find out, but
is it worth the effort, though? I mean,
well, you know, it is, because Greer is quite, he does quite have kind of figurehead status among the true believer crowd, and I think if there is some sort of financial irregularities going on, which many have suspected for a number of years surrounding his claims of getting support to complete free energy devices and the amount of money that's generated by CSETI for these training sessions around the country. There's a lot of cash that's been flowing around, the amount of money that was spent on this serious documentary. Allegations of skimming money and this sort of thing, I think, are unfounded until we really find out and dig to the bottom of this. It has created, I guess, from the sound of it, a bit of controversy within Greer's inner circle, according to Weber. But there's also this allegation of drug use, which is a little surprising to me. The drugs are never identified. Someone, I think, in one of the comments suggested possibly steroids because of his bodybuilding efforts that he's kind of undergone the last few years. And he's
but
kind
you
of
know what?
Up.
Who cares? If the guy wants to kill himself with steroids, why do we care? We worry about athletes because, in a sense, they're cheating. But if a private citizen wants to take steroids, that's his problem. That's her problem.
Yeah, well, steroids do have a tendency to affect behavior. And someone as public as Greer, I think, his behavior issues could be explained. I mean, there is a lot of posturing going on by the good doctor. He does have quite an inflated view of himself and his role as chief ambassador to the universe. So some of these what appear to be delusions of grandeur may be partially due to some sort of behavior changes brought on by drug use. I'm not saying that that's the case. I don't see any proof of this. I think these types of allegations, just a very cavalier attitude that Weber took by just saying drug use. I mean, he's got to come up with something a little bit more concrete in order for that particular very salacious allegation to be taken seriously.
Okay, here's what they say about sourcing. We always have to pay attention to how far removed this claim is. It said oneexopolitics.com confidential source in direct contact with former Greer core team members. So, so it's secondhand. It's not so bad. I've heard worse. It's not someone who knows somebody who knows somebody.
Well, so still, these types of claims need to be, we need a little bit more to go on than unnamed anonymous sources close to the doctor. Ask me if I care. Greer, to me, has been one of the people, at least in my humble opinion, that has brought more problems into this field than solutions. Of course, his disclosure efforts and getting witnesses together and whatnot, I have always seen it as being a way to legitimize and put a stamp of approval on his grandiose view of himself. And I told him 20 plus years ago that his message is more important than he is, and he's just gone off the deep end. I mean, years ago, he's been off the reservation for quite some time. I really think that he's created more problems than he's solved at this point.
You know, Chris, one of the other things is here that he is still taken seriously in far too many places. You still see him turning up at supposedly serious UFO events. The citizens' hearing on disclosure, I think he was one of the worst offenses there. Yeah. Having him there, you know, we can say less for someone like Linda Moulton Howe, whose antics is just a sideshow compared to Greer. So I think
they had him at the International MUFON conference this year,
right?
Didn't they?
But MUFON isn't a complete mess itself. Let's point out that MUFON has now yet another international director. I mean, for many years they had one, then they had another one. Now you've had another changeover in recent months, and you have this L.A. division of MUFON splitting off. The fact that they tend to allow more of the, shall we say, outrageous or extreme aspects in terms of UFO speakers and presentations at their events. I guess they're trying to reach out and reach more people, get a bigger audience. But how does that help in the cause of scientific UFO research?
It doesn't. And I really have high hopes for Jan Harzen, who is the new president of International MUFON. I've known Jan for many years. He's very level-headed, extremely up to speed, very talented. He's a good businessman. He worked for many years for IBM. I think out of everyone that's been in that position, I think Jan has the skill set and the people skills, I think, to move MUFON hopefully forward in a positive direction. John Schuessler was close, but again, there were too many strings attached with his longtime relationship with Walt Andrus, and Jan is really I just can't say enough about him. I've always really appreciated his very down to earth and very sober analysis of the UFO phenomenon, and I think he's really a good choice for the organization.
We should talk to him on the PowerCast, get an idea of his vision, because it's not just being level-headed, it's not just being serious, it's not just being a good business person, but somebody who can get in there, and if a few heads have to roll to right that ship, well, if he has the gumption to do that, we of course applaud it, because we need more serious UFO investigation. We don't need the kind of sideshows typified by the exopolitics people and certainly by Dr. Greer. Anyway, today we've got a fascinating session that you put together with two previous guests together for the first time on the PowerCast. Tell us more.
Scott Allen Roberts we've had on the show. We talked about his book covering ancient civilizations. He has a new book out that looks at the whole idea of the reptilian meme as it has progressed through culture since ancient times. Fascinating book. I'm looking forward to reading it. And Micah, of course, we had him on talking about his most recent work, The UFO Singularity, which I found fascinating. Micah is one of my favorite younger folks in the field. He's an extremely bright, out-of-the-box thinker, a very talented musician, I might add, too. His Runners of the Green Laurel bluegrass band is just world class, and I really like Micah. He's extremely articulate, and the two of them together have put together what they're calling the Paradigm Symposium. Last year being the first inaugural, version of this hopefully annual conference that's held in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Well, and, I'll tell you what, it's been many years since I've been to Minneapolis-St. Paul, so I should look into that. Of course, Micah Hanks has had both of us on separately on his Graylian Report radio show.
Correct.
Okay, so let's get ready for this. We'll have Scott Allen Roberts, Micah Hanks up next. You're in
the PowerCast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, the metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
And you thought the most painful question from your child was this.
Are we there yet?
Questions on family trips are nothing compared to questions from real family emergencies caused by weather, natural disasters, or terrorism.
I'm super hungry. What are we going to eat?
Daddy, I'm scared. Why don't we have enough food?
Daddy should have been better prepared.
September is National Preparedness Month. Now you can be prepared. Now you should. Now you have awareness. And now you have your solution. Go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy will get you ready with the Family First Responders Kit. It's your emergency solution with delicious freeze-dried food, safe water, and even fire starting. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. Protect your family now with emergency preparedness and say,
we're there!
freezedryguy.com.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We have Gene, we have Chris, we have Micah Hanks with an interesting avatar on his Skype account that looks like a lazy green ET, not a gray, but a green. And then we have Scotty Roberts, and we're all together in one virtual room, and no room is too big for us. Our egos are not as large as a certain former emergency room doctor, but I don't want to get into that.
But, you know, that that former emergency room doctor is actually from my hometown down here in Asheville, North Carolina. And so, you know, there are a lot of interesting stories floating around about what he used to see floating around in the skies here in Asheville. But, yes, you're right. That's another story, guys. Great to be on the Paracast.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I have no stories of emergency room doctors, but I'm good over here.
The listeners, we'll leave that to the listeners to figure out who we're talking about.
Well, actually, yes. We talked about him in the previous segment. We were, of course, talking about you two behind your backs, as we are wont to do here on the Paracast. No, we talked about this guy. That's right. We have an introductory segment where we have at different people. You see, in the old days of the Paracast, we did that at the end of the show. Now we give you a week to digest what happened. And then we talk about people, but not always about the people. So you two guys are involved in a conference in Minneapolis. And let me tell you, the last time I was in Minneapolis was before most of you were born, I think. I don't think it was called Minneapolis then. It was just a cave.
It was still like Pig's Eye or something like that. No, wait, that was St. Paul.
Okay, in a Pig's Eye. But why would you have a paranormal event in Minneapolis? And I have to explain to you that I spent the longest 4 years of my life in a 13-month time frame in South Minnesota working for a radio station. And it got to be, what, 30 degrees below? And that's when it's warm?
You know what? That's the big misnomer, I think, about Minnesota, is that now you lived here for 13 months. I've lived here for 52 years, practically. Minnesota gets a bad rap because it's got 2 weeks in the middle of the winter that are dead cold. And I mean dead cold. You could be subarctic. We could have a movie like The Thing filmed here. You know, one of those stereotypical ice stations out in our backyard. You can get up to 6 feet of snow. You can get 30 below zero. Actual temperature 75 with the wind chill. But in the summer, like last week, we had a 107-degree heat index with the humidity. It'll get up to 98 to 102 degrees with the 80% humidity. When you step outside, you might as well just stay inside. There's only so much you can take off, but you can keep putting on mukluks and layers of fur in the winter. It's not too bad up here. It's still hot.
I'm packing my bags. I'm moving there right now. Below 107 heat index, man, that's just my cup of tea.
And, you know, it's all your point of perspective in the year, too, because or in the winter you say, I cannot wait till summer. And in the summer you're going, oh, my God, it's deathly hot out here. I cannot wait for 20 below zero.
Well, you can't wait. I can wait. I can sure wait. But I'll tell you what, when is this event going to be held?
October 17th through the 20th at the historic Union Depot in downtown St. Paul.
Okay, so the weather is going to be really good then.
Yeah, it should be. Last year was in the mid-50s, and the year before it was in the mid-80s. So you never know what it's going to do that weekend.
Okay, before we get on with other subjects, what's the bill of fare? Who's going to be there?
Micah, do you want me to go with this, or you want to roll with it?
Scotty, roll with it.
I will go. We have a phenomenal cast, or as we like to say, cadre, of seasoned speakers. We've got Robert Bivol, and you've all seen him. He's been on Ancient Aliens. He's been on just about every Egyptological documentary that's out there on the cable networks. He's going to be here speaking. Scott Walter, who is the host of H2's America Unearthed. Dr. Robert Schock. Again, you've seen him, Ancient Aliens, and all kinds of documentaries. He's going to be talking about the Sphinx and forgotten civilization. L.A. Marzulli will be here. He is the best-selling Nephilim trilogy that he did, and also the Watchers series. Dr. John Ward, British archaeologist living in Luxor, Egypt, just co-authored a book with me, and he's going to be here speaking. Nick Redfern, the prolific Nick Redfern.
He's going to get away from writing his 300 books a year to spend a few days with you guys.
He's going to take a weekend off and probably drop down to 298 books this year.
Oh, he's not. He's going to be in his hotel room writing the whole time.
You know it. And as we like to say, as we're quipping here about the weather, Nick's probably pumped out another 62,000 words. So
I understand he's fighting Brad Steiger to become the most prolific paranormal author on the planet.
Well, yeah. You know what? I think it's a good head-to-head right now. We've got Laird Scranton, who is not in competition to be the most prolific author, but is pretty amazing. He wrote his books, of course. He's known for his work on the Dogon and his linguistics and so on. We've got a favorite of yours, Anthony F. Sanchez, will be here. We have David Weatherly, And you know David Weatherly, Black-Eyed Children, Strange Intruders, and so on. He will be here. Dan Madsen, who's a good friend of Micah's and mine. I've known Dan for about 30 years. He used to publish the Star Trek Communicator magazine and Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Indiana Jones, Lucasfilms, all of those magazines. He was a mogul in that field. And so he's just coming to talk about his experiences. Larry Flaxman, Marie D. Jones, you're familiar with. Got Thomas Fusco. We've got this guy, Christopher O'Brien, coming, some Irish dude.
Christopher who?
It's O'Brien, don't you know? And actually, I don't know if he's Irish at all, but it sure sounds that way. Got Dr. John DeSalvo. He's a research association. He's got crystal skulls and things like that. We have an interesting guest in P.Z. Myers, who is an evolutionary biologist with the University of Minnesota Morris up here. Also a dyed-in-the-wool, not just a skeptic, a hating, bitter, angry, atheistic skeptic.
Oh, and, boy, one of those.
Yes. He's Gene's favorite type.
And it took some coaxing to get him to come to this. And he and I are not really friends, but I was in a debate with him once, and he thought he totally undid me. But I invited him for to come to our symposium and present his ideas. And I had a lot of sycophant... Say that again, Micah?
So that he can totally undo you this year.
Yeah, yes, he can totally undo you. And I'm going to sick Micah on him. Then, of course, you have
Make
Micah.
Make sure Micah isn't sick before you sick him on him.
Yes.
That's terrible. You know, people say I tell terrible puns and jokes, and I resemble that remark, but I don't believe in that at all.
You know, Gene, I've heard worse puns than that.
I bet you've expressed a few. You know, I mean, normally here, you know, we have to have some hard-edged conversation, as we are. You know, like, you know, just a few weeks ago, we had this great debate featuring Scott Ramsey and Kevin Randall about the Aztec UFO incident, and nobody convinced the other of anything.
Of course.
We put them in the same virtual room, and we got them to talk for a couple of hours, and Chris and I were just, shall we say, flies on the wall. We'd listen to them. It was a lot of fun. So those debates are good when it's not just done for show, where the talk show yes. host, can you hear me, Bill O'Reilly, screams over the guest that he doesn't like because it makes for good shows and good ratings. But I won't talk about that. I won't do that.
Was that interview kind of like putting them in a corner, each in a corner of the room, tossing a knife into the middle of the floor and just shutting yourself out of the room, seeing what happens next?
We will have a knife in the room if we don't do this break now. Okay, we got Scotty Roberts. Yes, we have Scotty on the show. Scotty Roberts, not the other Scotty. Micah Hanks with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Times are changing, and violent crimes against law-abiding citizens are out of control. Protect yourself with legal, affordable, 100% made-in-the-USA ballistic body armor. Available at AR500.com. Rated for calibers up to .308 Winchester. Packages including armor start at only $210. It's the right of every responsible American citizen to own body armor. Get some at 602-501-9607 or AR500.com.
Let Emergency Essentials help you prepare with our Mountain House Super Sale. Right now, get 40% off every can. Mountain House freeze-dried food is the premier solution for your long-term storage. Delicious flavors, easy preparation, and scientifically proven shelf life of 25-plus years. This month only, save 40% on more than 20 Mountain House varieties. Call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or click BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, let's get down to brass tacks. On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we have Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report. We have author Scott Allen Roberts, or Scotty. And we're here, obviously, to talk about their event come October in Minneapolis, when the weather is really good there. But I want to bring up a topic for both of you to discuss, because you've both written about ancient aliens or ancient phenomena. And that is, it was a recent book about conspiracies and other subjects from Kevin Randall, who's written a lot of books himself. And he didn't sound like he accepts much of that stuff about the possibility of some interaction with advanced beings in times gone by. What do you say, either of you, take this, to people who don't believe in the theories of people like Eric von Däniken, or even someone you don't know, Yona Fortner, who was talking about that thing in the 50s?
You know, if I could jump in here, I'll say this. I don't think that we can maybe rule out completely the possibility that there were intelligent beings. And I think when we talk about intelligent beings, we have to be fairly specific and declarative about this. When people talk about ancient astronauts, they tend to believe that we're talking about physical beings that visited Earth. Now, maybe that did happen. I remember talking with a staunch skeptic, actually an astronomy professor here at a college in the region where I live in Western North Carolina, years ago. And he was so dismissive of the idea of UFO reports, despite Blue Book, despite Hynek and Vallée and all the researchers who've come and gone and studied and presented what I think at times is pretty credible evidence of something going on, whether or not you look at that as being alien. And the gentleman, when it came to the discussion of UFOs, said, I've never seen credible evidence of anything that's visited Earth in the present day, but I wouldn't doubt that maybe in ancient times we were visited. I thought about that, and to me that's such a strange statement, because how do you prove that Earth was visited in ancient times, and how do you say that there's no proof of that in the modern era with the plethora of information available to us, which I think in a lot of instances, the more debunker style skeptics. You know, Jim Mars makes a distinction between debunkers and just skeptics. I mean, I'm a skeptical researcher. Some people literally have a predisposition toward debunking, which shows an ideological component to this. So how is it that a person can say that there's no evidence of something going on that we could call the UFO phenomenon? I don't think that you can make that as a fair statement. I also think that when it comes to ancient aliens, maybe Kevin Randall's right to question that, because, again, it's very funny to me that people say that evidence of ancient civilizations and advanced technologies that existed long ago has to be proof that aliens were essentially coming down here and building great big mud pies along the Giza Plateau and places like this. It's strange to me that in a highly advanced technology, and I think Kevin Randall made this point, maybe even on this program, that when we look at something like the pyramids, that doesn't seem to be indicative of an extremely advanced extraterrestrial technology. It seems to be evidence that there were humans in ancient times that were capable of doing these kinds of things. And I have to say, in relation to Paradigm Symposium, since we do deal with that subject a lot, at the symposium, I want to make it clear I personally don't endorse ancient alien theories. I look at ancient mysteries, and I will look at a ufological component to some of those. I don't look at ancient mysteries like the pyramids, like the Sphinx, you know, and some of these other ancient sites as being direct evidence of alien interaction with Earthlings long ago.
What he said. Yeah, you know, that's pretty much along the lines where I would be. Some of the last statements Micah made is that I don't personally endorse the ancient alien theory. I have written about it. I have talked about it. I've said, I put it in this kind of tone. I say, I'm intrigued by that theory, and I cannot be absolutely 100% dismissive of it. But I would need to have, and this is where it smacks of some of the, maybe you're more stalwart skeptics out there. I tend to be skeptical, but I want to have more proof before I can say that this exists. I'm not the guy to go out there and put shovel in the dirt and try to start to do archaeological digs and try to find this. The people that are working on these things, that's great. Putting forth a notion doesn't mean a damn thing to me. If you have a notion that means something and has some evidentiary backing, then I can get that. I can understand it. I see some of the things that are put forward with ancient alien theory that sound pretty plausible, but plausibility is as far as I've seen it taken. Plausibility doesn't necessarily mean actuality. And, of course, conversations we've all had before on our own and in different settings is, you can muse as much as you want about how perhaps the ancient gods, devils, demons, angels, everything in between, ancient mankind labeled what they saw as those things. Perhaps they had encounters with non-human entities. Perhaps there is a god that is over it all. Perhaps there are aliens. Perhaps there are something else. We don't know because, frankly, we weren't there. Trying to sift through the evidence that's available really leaves you scratching your head and saying, it looks interesting, but I don't know. And I like to chalk a lot of this up to, it's almost a reworking of ancient mythology. You've got ancient mythology re-emerging as the alien mythos today. And so for me to say that I fully adhere to the ancient alien theory would just be wrong. I don't. Some of the people we have speaking at our symposium certainly adhere to it. I know people like Laird Scranton will. I don't know that he necessarily adheres to ancient alien theory as much as he talks about all these similarities in linguistics and all the things that could possibly be so. So that's really where I'm left standing on that particular issue.
Well, I think you've just solved the mystery of why Giorgio Tsoukalos's hair on the Ancient Aliens show looks the way it does. It's because he's been scratching his head.
That could be it.
Let's talk about the head scratching, though. And that is, if it isn't interaction with advanced beings other than, of course, Scott, interaction with ET, whatever, what possibly could it be? Coincidence? A bunch of coincidences we toss together? What?
I think it could be a combination at times. And I know Scotty would agree about this because, I mean, I go to Scotty, of course, aside from planning Paradigm Symposium and things like that. I mean, you know, he and I are friends. We're very good friends, in fact. And we work on a lot of writing projects and research projects together. And so I constantly, Gene and Chris, I'm always going back to Scotty and saying, clarify for me again what you think. And it is very much the case that with regard to, for instance, his research with the Nephilim and things like this, that there is a mythological component that he is examining. Certainly we can get into the realm of saying, now, is this mythology derived from something that was actually authentic? Now, for me, and this is something else, and Scotty, maybe you can elaborate on this a bit too. For me, I've always been more intrigued in terms of for instance, cave art and things that often the ancient astronaut proponents have looked at and said, see, there it is, proof. These people were drawing and literally documenting their literal physical interactions with spacemen. I look at those cave drawings, I look at these sorts of evidences, and I say, well, I mean, you know, I've also read really good fiction. You know, you could look at a book by Paul Anderson or H. Beam Piper, and you could say, did this individual have an encounter with an alien being, and did they write that down, and that this clearly what is intended to be a fiction novel, was this inspired by an actual circumstance? Lovecraft, H.P. Lovecraft stories were often actually inspired by dreams, and so I think in many instances, probably the cave art could have been inspired by dreams, or if we wanted to kind of follow the research of Terence McKenna, we might say that there was a component, you know, similar to the ecstatic visions of the shaman, and that, you know, a shamanistic kind of a vision could also have maybe produced these kinds of experiences. But when you get into the work of researchers like Slavik Vojtovich and Dr. Rick Strassman, and the DMT studies that were carried out, I believe it was Arizona State University in the 1990s, not only do you find a lot of parallels between people's reports of the entities that they allegedly encountered during the DMT state, many of those participants said that it was a very realistic, almost a lifelike or even a hyper-realistic interaction they had with these beings. And this is what's incredible to me, because again, I could talk about all these other esoteric areas, and I'm best known as a UFO researcher. You do also see some parallels between the reports of the ecstatic visionary experiences and the entities encountered there, and some of the nighttime UFO encounters, the abductions, the mantises, you know, the light beings, and even the alien grays. There are so many interesting comparisons, and again, it does, to me, come back around to comparative mythology. The question, I guess, is where does that stem from? Ecstatic visions, dreams, imagination, or, you know, just utter mythology? Or is there at the essence, at the very, you know, pinnacle of the mystery, is there that literal physical interaction that may have occurred? I don't personally believe that, but I think that that could be at very least a minute possibility.
We have Micah Hanks and Scott Roberts joining Gene and Chris for a lot more. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder. Available only at hempusa.org.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees, and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with Bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept Bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest-growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Kurt Sutherland, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris and Micah Hanks and Scotty Roberts, so what causes all these things to be perceived? What is the fundamental cause? Chris, you had a question.
Well, it's more of a comment, really, or an observation. I think that one thing that's always intrigued me about this subject is some fairly uncanny correlations and parallels, especially in the indigenous cultures around the world, that you do have what appear to be some very similar belief systems that have sprung up details about star beings coming down, interacting with people, actually possibly manipulating part of the genetic structure of humans. These types of correlations, I think, are very intriguing and indicate something. But, you know, again, I think as Micah points out, I mean, ecstatic experiences, chemically induced visions, those sorts of things do also have correlations. So it's very difficult to really, you know, look at, especially in the non oral traditions or the oral traditions that are not written down, it's extremely difficult to really pin some of this these correlations down. But I do feel that there's something there. You know, the History Channel sure does. I think they're going into their seventh season now of Ancient Aliens. Talk about beating a dead horse. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're managing to come up with more and more angles looking at this particular subject. It's very popular. I can't begin to count how many books I've seen in the last 4 years that have ancient alien or a derivation of that term. There's been a bunch of them, and it's really a big subject right now out there.
Of course, we have in the fiction world that long series, and there were several series based on the concept of Stargate and Stargate SG-1, which started out as a science fiction story about ancient aliens leaving this wormhole or transportation device called the Stargate and how they interacted with us in ancient times. All right, so can we assume then that if all these things are being reported through history, interpreted within the cultural conditions of the time, that when we see UFOs and think they're spaceships, it's all the same thing? It's all the same cause.
You know, I think there's something to that. There, if you speak anthropologically or archaeologically, you're going to say that civilizations around the world, by virtue of research and study, have all developed in some kind of equanimous fashion. They have all had very similar stories, very similar mythologies, and so on. And they chalk that up to just human beings developing at the same type of rate, and we developed certain kinds of mythologies and certain kinds of religions. It's all just a pattern of human development. Yet, you look at some of these things. For instance, if you look at the Noah and the Ark story in the book of Genesis, There are over 600 different cultural, religious, tribal stories out there, ancient stories of major flood myths. Related to most of them are spirit beings and visitations and interminglings with humans and some god or greater being wanting to wipe them out with a great flood. Is that indicative of a singular event that took place and everybody experienced that, or the stories just spread out and they kept retelling the stories? If you look at a cave wall, something Micah was mentioning a little earlier, the things that may have been chemically induced, visions and dream quests and things like that, and they record these on cave walls and paintings and carvings. Being an artist and an illustrator, there are days where I sit down and I feel like it's awfully fun to sit down and do an illustrated story. And it isn't because I was chemically induced, sad to say. It has nothing to do with a dream or a vision. It just might have to be an idea. I want to tell a story. How do we know that some of the things that we've seen on these wall paintings that date back thousands of years aren't just the resident priest or witch doctor or resident artist that said, I got a great story and I want to put it up here on the wall? These are the things, these are the questions we have to start asking when we look at all of this. Is what looks like similarities, it's either stark similarities and they do all correspond to each other, or it is this equal development of human culture, anthropologically speaking, or it could just be guys drawn on cave walls.
But, you know, that also raises the question about sacred texts. You know which ones I mean.
Right, right.
Were they meant to be fables? Were they meant to be historical documents? Were they meant to be the equivalent of a science fiction novel from 2,000 years ago? That's, of course, a big argument. And how would we know if they're picked up maybe hundreds of years later and someone says, boy, we can start a religion from this, and they did that, of course, with a certain science fiction writer in modern times, and we don't want to get into Scientology at all.
You know, on that point specifically, if you look at the Hebrew religion and you look at, and I don't want to offend anybody's sensibilities out there who's listening to this, but you look at Moses, a man who I believe was an historical figure. He created Judaism, in a sense, virtually out of whole cloth. You look at the book of Genesis, which is attributed to him. Look at the stories of creation. And then start comparing them to stories that existed in different cultures, the Mesopotamian cultures, 1,500 and 2,000 years earlier. And you have such stark similarities in deity names, in functions of deities, in outcomes. Just in a quick nutshell, you've got Elil and Enki-Ea from the Mesopotamian culture, the Anunnaki, creating man, primeval man. And the humans rebel, and one of the gods, Enki-Ea, comes down and helps deliver them and is cast into the subterranean caverns of the earth to dwell forever. You go to the Genesis story. Instead of Elil as the chief god, you now have El, the Hebrew word for God from the Canaanite culture, who becomes Elil. It becomes Elohim, El Shaddai, El Elyon. You have Enki-Ea as the base word for Yahweh, which is Jehovah. And with the migration of religion over that 1,500 to 2,000 years, you've got these religions incorporated. Instead of the gods creating primeval men to do work for them, you have the Genesis story. God creates man and woman and puts them in the garden to do what? To till the ground and keep it for him. And then there's rebellion, and there's the serpentine connections, and there's the subterranean caverns of the earth connections, and the forbidden knowledge connections. And all of these things, when you look at just that story alone in human culture, you say, boy, Judaism, as we know it today, Old Testament religion, was really founded on something much older. And if you remember the story where Moses is at the burning bush, what does God say? You tell them, I am sent you. I am that I am. Now, what's very interesting about that phrase, and the person who did the work on this was David Roll, linguistically. But that I am is a play on words. It actually is a linguistic derivation, if you will, of the name Enki. And it's too long a detail to explain here, but in essence, what the biblical account with Moses at the burning bush says, God says, you tell them, I am that Enki they speak of. Now, all of these religions being brought together by the man who created Judaism, or it's attributed to creating Judaism, this is a good picture of what I think has happened in humanity's past, is that we merge cultures, we merge religions, we merge spiritualities. If, let's say, for sake of argument, Moses indeed had a burning bush epiphany, a spiritual experience, he was the only one there, the only one who saw it, the only one who wrote about it. But he used that to move him to change things. So did he have a spiritual experience? Was it a god? Was it extraterrestrial? Was it Anunnaki? Was it something else? We don't know for sure. We weren't there. But in answer to that question, all cultures, I think, have built upon past cultures and borrow information from other cultures. And how much is original information? How much is original experience? We don't know.
It's interesting, though, to look at the cultural connections and to see, is this the way humankind advances in terms of our evolution? Or, once again, was there some kind of direct physical interaction? But now we're looking at events 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago and more. And it's fine to find these stories, and it's really wonderful to look at all these things we see in the caves. And they found something, Chris, in Nevada just the other day, some kind of footprint or something. Makes for a lot of fascinating stories to tell, but in the end, this is the cliffhanging question. How do we get to the bottom of this to see if there is a fundamental reality behind all of it? With Gene and Chris, Micah Hanks and Scotty Roberts, you're in
the Paracast. Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.